If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. A Wednesday to look back on a huge Tuesday night in the world of basketball. 9-game slate around the association. History made in Los Angeles for the man known as the 40-year-old King. And some winning streaks continuing around the NBA as well. A monumental Tuesday night in college hoops at the high major level, final week of the regular season. A ton of top 25 teams in action last night. And the number one team in the nation does go down in College Station. And many of games that impacted the NCAA tournament bubble and conference tournaments beginning even in more spots around mid-major leagues. What a time in college hoops. Big NFL news. It was tag deadline day around the National Football League. Deals were done. So much to get to here, DRS, over these next 3 hours.
And probably only the Philadelphia Eagles could make a running back in Saquon Barkley the highest paid running back in the sport and probably lowered his cap hit here nonetheless. Make it make sense. It doesn't, because a lot of people are going to make a lot of money in the free agent process this year in the NFL. So watch that play out. But Ben is right. College basketball really ramping up. Conference tournaments here underway, as we've already said. Another three more set to start today, which we're going to give you a preview for, having fun with those. And also a couple team totals yesterday. Went to bed. Iowa State not going to get that 79.5. No. Woke up two OTs. That is always your best friend with totals.
Yes, it certainly is. After 2 points in only the opening 6 minutes between the Cyclones and the Cougars, we needed that extra session and then another extra session to push us to an over last night in Ames. Your college basketball recap coming in just a moment. But some history last night for the streaking Lakers in L.A. 21-point win over the New Orleans Pelicans, 136-115. The Pels playing better, but the Lakers have now won 7 straight games. The Lakers cover as a 9-point home favorite last night. The history came very early on with his first point in the game. LeBron James reaches the 50,000 point mark in regular season and playoff games combined, becoming the first and only NBA player to ever get to that threshold. He finishes with 34. Luka Doncic pours in 30 as well, and the Lakers have won 7 straight.
It's pretty impressive because this team is gelling quickly here, and we didn't even get the best of Luka Doncic right after the trade, but now we're starting to settle in. 9 of 19 from the floor, 6 of 13 from three-point range, 30 total points, and how about a team best? Plus 37 on the court for Luka, and LeBron James in his last game wasn't all that efficient, was very much efficient in this past game. 10 of 18 from the floor, included 5 of 10 from three-point range and 9 of 9 from the free throw line. An easy blowout victory for the Los Angeles Lakers by 20-plus points at home as they continue to roll.
We'll talk about the Lakers' outlook. Are they a true contender out west? That will be the debate. A plus minus of a plus 37 for Luka Doncic, maybe adding some insult to injury. on a very difficult day in Dallas for the Mavs. You see Luka Doncic starting to look like Luka Doncic, but now in the purple and gold. A season-saving win, perhaps, for the Phoenix Suns last night at home in the Valley, down by as many as 23 points late in the third quarter. Phoenix rallies in the fourth to pull off a huge home upset of the LA Clippers. 119-117. The Suns win outright as that three-point home dog.
Yeah, Clips are in a bad way right now. That's an easy victory against a dead basketball team that you let them come back in the fourth quarter and beat you by 2 points at the buzzer. That can't absolutely happen to the Clippers. I still think the Clippers make the playoffs, but interesting enough for the Phoenix Suns, they rally last night for that victory and then see Kyrie Irving go down, which we'll get toward, and also talk about Anthony Davis maybe sitting out the rest of the season. The biggest benefactor from that injury might be the Phoenix Suns and their pathway to getting to the play-in round and a 500-1 price to win the NBA championship.
Still four games under 500 for Phoenix, but only three games now back of that 10th and final postseason spot, the fourth and final play-in tourney position in the Western Conference. 34 points for Kevin Durant and Colin Gillespie. Yeah, the guy from Villanova providing a huge spark in that fourth quarter as a part of the comeback. Down goes number one. Last night in College Station, the number one team in the country, the Auburn Tigers, who have been atop the AP Top 25 for seven straight weeks, has a six-game win streak snapped by an A&M team now ranked 22nd in the poll who had lost four straight games. The chaos in the month of March. A&M wins 83-72 outright as a 4.5-point home dog in College Station.
Yeah, and well, by the way, on paper, Texas A&M had a pretty good look in that one, just not playing great basketball down the stretch. Big-time victory for them. Did you know their team total, Ben, was 72.5 yesterday? Easily eclipsed that, scoring 83 points against the best team in the country in the best conference in the country. Nice win for A&M.
Worked its way up, DRS, 74.5. I know because I used a 30% profit boost token on our lovely FanDuel Sportsbook, thinking if A&M was going to win this game or keep it within that margin, as we saw, just a 4.5-point number they would need to score. Auburn over in 9 of its last 11. A&M over in 4 consecutive games, snapping a 4-game losing skid. Chaos inside Hilton Coliseum, where Iowa State entered last night with only one home defeat in the last two seasons. Now make it two. BYU, a couple of huge road wins as of late in double OT, 88-85 in Ames, knocking off the Cyclones. BYU, DRS, has won seven consecutive games, covering in all seven, three of them outright as a road underdog in Morgantown against the Mountaineers, in Tucson, in a controversial close against Arizona, last night in Ames against Iowa State.
You know what doesn't make sense in this game? I don't know if I ever saw this before. A quality opponent like BYU going on the road against Iowa State. They turned the basketball over. Talking about BYU, 29 times in that game to 11 for Iowa State and still beat them. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And then you look at the rebounding disparity. 52 boards for BYU, 24 boards for Iowa State. In a crazy box score, big-time win for BYU. And yes, over 79.5, still cash is the same, no matter if it's in regulation, one overtime or two overtimes. You needed it all, and they got there. So that was the big part I took away from last night from Iowa State.
And in fairness, DRS, we only needed the opening extra session to go over that game total of 149.5. Yesterday was tag deadline day around the National Football League. 4 p.m. Eastern time to place the franchise tag on a player on your roster. Of course, the Eagles did not need to do that with Saquon Barkley, but just 1 year into his Philly tenure, a contract extension, a 2-year deal worth more than $41 million, making Saquon Barkley the highest paid running back ever in NFL history. The only guy to get more than 20 mil per year. And after the record-setting season last year, leading the Eagles to a Super Bowl, really, who could fault the Birds?
Taking care of one of their best players is what the Philadelphia Eagles do. You can't sign anybody. High paid quarterback, highest paid running back, two high-paying wide receivers, high-paid offensive line. That's how you get it done here. As long as your owner wants to win, people, he can spend whatever money he wants in the NFL, and the Eagles do it right.
And we'll talk about the financial forward nature of what Philadelphia excels in doing in our next segment. The New York Jets have officially released Devontae Adams. His 11-game stint in green comes to a close.
Fantastic news for the Jets. They are cleaning house right now. Watch out for this. When's the last time we said that? Watch out for the Jets in a couple years? Yeah, how about it?
I want to talk about Devontae Adams, though. We'll do that up next. And no need for the franchise tag for Osa Odighizuwa in Dallas. 4-year, $80 million extension agreed to yesterday.
Yeah, everybody just pulling the ski mask down on Jerry Jones and laughing all the way to the bank as they will not win a championship or even make an NFC championship game. But everybody gets paid. They love Dallas, no question.
So this move, actually one of the better the Dallas Cowboys could make. We'll talk about it in a little bit. NFL news up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tag deadline day around the National Football League on a Tuesday afternoon. Now officially 1 week away from the start of a new league year in the NFL. That is 1 week from today. Next Wednesday, March 12th at 4 p.m. Eastern. So, DRS, as we get some news over the next week, everything becomes official exactly a week from today. At any time there is a deadline around the NFL, not only will it focus on that specific thing, like franchise or transition tags, but, of course, we'll get some big news around the NFL, including an early contract extension for the record-setting running back in Philadelphia after his first year in the city of brotherly love, that being Saquon Barkley. Just 1 year into his 3-year, $38 million deal that, of course, Barkley signed with the Eagles last offseason, a new record-setting extension. 2-year deal, $41.2 million extension. The highest paid running back now ever in the National Football League. The only ever running back, DRS, to make $20 million or more in annual average value.
Yeah, and we talk about it. Look, the salary cap's going up. The good players are going to get rewarded. And also a forward-thinking organization by saying, we probably have Saquon Barkley for at least 2 to 3 more years in his full prime, barring a disastrous injury. Why don't we get him a little bit more money up front? We'll appreciate that as a franchise. You have also all of that money saved away, as we talk about, and we will continue to talk about, how much money you can get on the average bonus, which means guaranteed money in your back pocket. So I think everybody in the organization was happy. And is anybody going to fault it? He just came off the single best seasons in the history of football from the running back position. You pushed a little bit more money his way. Everybody wins here. Organizations should look at the Philadelphia Eagles and say, yes, that's the gold standard. Imagine a person who signs a deal, and a very good deal, plays more and better than what everybody thought he was going to do, and has a sensational season, they gave him more money. Free agents will see that. You know what else free agents see? The way players get treated in Cincinnati goes a long way.
And you could make an argument that Saquon Barkley is getting a big thank you from every single running back around the NFL, reinvigorating the position as he did with a big deal last offseason, and his performance proving that if you have a record-setting running back on pace for it, you can make some headway in the National Football League. And the also interesting thing about this deal, Saquon can also earn an additional $15 million worth of contract incentives already on the highest paid running back contract in NFL history. And here's what's fascinating, Donnie, as we try our best to illuminate what front offices are doing around the NFL with our limited knowledge, but just being around the National Football League here on this show. It is not often that you see a contract extension handed out in only 1 year into a 3-year deal is a contract extended even on top of that, certainly for more money. But one of the reasons the Eagles are able to pay everybody, all of their key contributors, as we highlighted yesterday, they draft so well, so they have instant impact players on the defensive side of the football. But because they have that financial foresight to get these deals done right now, which seems like a lot of money, and it certainly is, but in the escalating and increasing salary cap, you have Jeffrey Lurie as an owner who is willing to spend, and you have Howie Roseman as the GM who is creatively coming up with these contracts. So you have financial flexibility based on your salary cap, based on your cap hits for your most important players, which is why this deal is fascinating, but also allows the Eagles to make record-setting deals just like this.
It does. And that's being, again, proactiveness is what makes a great organization in the NFL. Does every move work out? No. Like you saw last year, like they signed Bryce Huff to close to $18 million a year, and he was an absolute disaster that was inactive on Super Bowl Sunday, despite being absolutely healthy for the season. But when you do identify players that you feel right now, if you pay them, wow, can't believe they reset the market on running back. Watch this deal in 2 years and they go, man, Saquon, another 1,600-yard rushing season and a deep playoff run. Boy, they really got a steal out of that. It's being proactive and not reactive is what makes the Philadelphia Eagles great. And I will always stand on this. Yes, there is a salary cap in the NFL, but you can bend those rules all the way down as long as your owner is willing to spend that front guaranteed bonus money right off the bat and spread those years out. You can sort of kick that can down the road a little bit more. So say, how does one team have so much more talent than other teams? Because they're proactive and they're smart on players that they identify to be future superstars on their team for at least the next 2 to 3 years, pay them immediately. You will save so much money on the back end. It's what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing.
2 to 3 off seasons ago, we would have laughed at the idea of running back even flirting with 20 mil per year. But Saquon Barkley, after rushing for 2,504 yards, including the postseason, that the most ever in NFL history, regular plus postseason. Really, who can blame Philadelphia with the financial foresight? It was not surprising, DRS, that yesterday it became official. The New York Jets releasing Devontae Adams. He spent only 11 games in New York. It frees up nearly $30 million of cap space as Adams had no guaranteed money on his deal following this season. So a good move for New York, that clean slate, that fresh start led by Aaron Glenn. And now Devontae Adams, more than likely, as T. Higgins was placed under the franchise tag, becomes that top target in the free agent wide receiver market.
And I love it. Just from a Jets perspective here, yes, Garrett Wilson finally back in that driver's seat as the number one wide receiver, a great young talent. This is his locker room, and it always should have been. Got circumvented the past 2 years with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. But understand this. When you hire a head football coach and a general manager, tough decisions have to be made because most will be in self-preservation mode a couple years into their career. This is what's refreshing. New GM, new head coach, understanding the task. It didn't work last year. If I bring the guys back and maybe I coach them up a little bit, maybe we get 6 to 7 wins, 8 wins, and maybe a chance at a playoff berth. That's not the objective in the NFL. It's to win a championship. Build that foundation. Teach the principles that you want installed in that franchise and move forward. You see what Detroit did? Laughing stock of the NFL. Got a head coach that understood what he wanted out of his team and saw it the way through. Did they win a championship yet? No. But Detroit is so much better under Dan Campbell. I love what Aaron Glenn and that team is doing right now, because in a couple years, Jets fans, you're going to be proud of your franchise. Something you couldn't say for what, 20 years at this point?
When you have missed the playoffs for 14 consecutive seasons, by far the longest active drought, in half of those 14 years, 5 wins or fewer, you have not been able to say proud in the New York Jets for a very long time. But Aaron Glenn, the new head coach, and Darren Mooji, the new GM, trying their best to do just that. We'll talk Devontae Adams a little bit later on. More NFL news from Tag Deadline Day next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tag Deadline Day around the National Football League was yesterday. 1 week exactly from now, and probably about 8 hours or so, the league year begins for 2025. So, DRS, a lot of NFL news and notes to bring you here. That negotiating window, by the way, for free agents, a non-tampering period, in heavy air quotes, that begins on Monday. The Cowboys over the weekend shared an intention that they would franchise tag defensive tackle Osa Odighizuwa if a long-term deal was not reached. Well, that long-term contract extension was reached yesterday. Osa Odighizuwa and the Dallas Cowboys agreed to a 4-year, $80 million deal that includes $52 million guaranteed. Osa Odighizuwa, who's played all 4 years of his NFL career for Dallas, a career-best 4.5 sacks as a disruptive force for an otherwise pretty poor Dallas defense a season ago. Now, Donnie, is he worth $20 million per year? I guess you could debate that. In my estimation, though, finally, Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones make a good deal because they don't place the franchise tag on Odighizuwa. They don't let this drag out. Yes, they waited until deadline day, but they get a franchise-friendly deal and get one of their young, promising defensive players paid up front.
Yes, the salary cap's going up. Marginal football players are going to get paid. Now, Odighizuwa is a very good football player. 26 in his prime, makes sense. Lock him up long term, you get that. But here's why we always get angry, and it always gets back for me, Ben, to the Cincinnati Bengals. You saw the Dallas Cowboys go, hey, we're going to have to franchise tag you in case we can't work things out. No, and they might be close. They had lines of communication that were open. Here's the difference. 1 year at $26 million, which goes right to the cap hit that season on a franchise tag. He just signed 4 years, $80 million, and will count $6 million against the salary cap this upcoming season. So that gives you roughly $20 million more to play with, and you got your football player. He's paid. He's happy with a lot of money, and the salary cap, you didn't abuse it by eating up $20 million, which other teams will use the cap space and say, okay, T. Higgins, $25 million, when you can get T. Higgins at $5 or $6 million, and use that money to spread it around and build your defense. So I know I always make it about the Bengals, but this is what we talk about when, if you're using the franchise tag, you are doing it wrong in the NFL. Hey, Jerry, finally, a good decision.
Absolutely so. You get Osa Odighizuwa on a better deal for your franchise, and the player and his representation happier as well, because $52 million guaranteed up front. None of the franchise tag tender value is fully guaranteed. It's good for both sides, which is why, Donnie, I will bring this up. Only two players officially in this franchise tag window for 2025 were placed under the tag. T. Higgins for a second consecutive year in Cincy, and Trey Smith in Kansas City, their right guard. That was the fewest number of players placed under a franchise tag in a league year since 1994, now over three decades ago. Why do I highlight that? Because the franchise tag, in essence, was always out there to benefit the organization, to benefit the NFL club. A player was never going to be thrilled placed under the franchise tag. No long-term security, no guaranteed money up front, even if that annual average value wasn't all that bad in terms of the price tag. It was always meant to benefit the franchise. But with the increasing salary cap year over year, and dramatically so, there's really not a benefit for the franchise anymore, because a franchise tag does not allow them the financial flexibility to play a multitude of players. The franchise tag is not nearly as robust or as seen as somebody playing under the tag for that season as it used to be even 5-10 years ago. Nine guys were placed under the tag last offseason. Only one, T. Higgins, ended up having to play under the franchise tag because the other eight agreed to a long-term deal with their franchise.
You're right. It's used as a marker right now where the organization and the player understand, hey, we're making headway here. We just might need a couple more weeks here. Let me place the franchise tag so you just can't go in the free agency. We'll work things out. That's the way it should be used. As a final note, where players are playing under the franchise tag, it's disastrous. And once again, Cincinnati. What is it last year if you didn't use the franchise tag and you saved T. Higgins and said, you know what, here's your big contract, and you counted $20 million less against the cap. Maybe you could have paid an extra linebacker, safety, or cornerback and actually made the playoffs. If you use the franchise tag and a player plays under it, again, you are doing this completely backwards here.
Yep.
Good for the Dallas Cowboys. Got their player at a manageable number, and they move forward to try to improve that team.
The franchise does not benefit from a financial aspect under a franchise tag tender, and the player is certainly not happy with that deal either. Plenty of NFL news a week away from the league year beginning. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Only two players placed under the franchise tag ahead of the tag deadline yesterday at 4 p.m. Eastern. In Cincinnati for a second straight off season, T. Higgins, with the hope of reaching a long-term deal, Hold your breath if you are trusting the Bengals front office. Trey Smith, the right guard for Kansas City. We expect a long-term extension at some point. And for those two guys under the tag, they have until July 15th to agree to a long-term deal with their franchise or play under the tag for 2025 or sit out. The New York Jets have given Alan Lazard permission to seek a trade. That's like the buddy you don't talk to from high school anymore, being like, I give you permission to make new friends. There's no reason to give Alan Lazard permission to seek a trade, except for the fact he is under contract. Donnie, again, it goes to the idea of the New York Jets and this new brass cleaning house of anybody that had any fingerprint of the Aaron Rodgers disastrous 2 years ago.
Exactly. And it's the way you're supposed to do business. New coach in there, fresh slate here. Build your program the way you want it. No back talk, no backstabbing here. Nobody going up the food chain to talk to the owner or the owner's son directly here to try to get their way. It's refreshing to see because you just want to get started on even foot where you say, you know what? Let me get these guys in OTAs and training camp here with no preconceived notions on how it was back in the day, meaning the last 2 years. It's interesting to see because they have a lot of high-priced veterans on that defense for a defense that should have been very good, who sort of collapsed midway through the season or when Robert Saleh got fired from that football team. So if we're looking forward, I'm high on the Jets. It's not going to pay dividends, I don't think, this season, but I understand this. When I see a head coach come in and say, we're probably going to be bad next year, and that's not the important thing. The building blocks for the future are what's important. I think the Jets absolutely nailed their head coach. Now, in 2 to 3 years, could the Jets possibly be a playoff team and make a run at the Super Bowl? Sure. Could they possibly be still a bad football team? Absolutely. A lot of things have to go right in your order. Great drafting process here, great young quarterback, and away you move forward. But from a Jets perspective, for me, every time I see a veteran under the previous two-year regime in New York up for sale or cut, I love what I see more and more.
And this new management team, head coach Aaron Glenn, GM Darren Mugi, is going to be afforded the time, you would think, Donnie, to get it right with some of those draft picks, including most importantly at the quarterback spot, more than likely not happening here in 2025. The Chicago Bears, who selected first overall and drafted Caleb Williams, of course, priority number one this offseason, reinforcing that O-line. And I think they made a solid trade yesterday, acquiring Jonah Jackson, interior offensive lineman from the LA Rams. He spent 4 years, the first four of his career in Detroit, working under who? Ben Johnson. Only played four games in an injury-marred season last year with the Rams, but in his 4 years with the Lions, very consistent up front, DRS, and the Bears need to protect Caleb Williams, who was sacked 68 times a season ago. The most by far, more than 15 sacks by far of any quarterback in the NFL last year.
If you don't have an offensive line that can protect your quarterback, you're not going to win very many football games. And particularly when you have a young quarterback that's just trying to learn how the NFL works, meaning getting through your progressions, the last thing you want him to do is say, okay, progression one isn't open. Oh, no, avalanche of defenders trying to kill me. Now I can't go through two, three, and four at this point. Invest in your offensive line, which means you're investing in your quarterback. I like to see that here for the Bears.
Only gave up a sixth-round pick as well. Jonah Jackson got a big offseason extension, or a new deal, I should say, with the Rams last year. The Bears will pay it. They've got the cap space to do so. And Bill Belichick in North Carolina will not appear on HBO's Hard Knocks, the offseason edition. Apparently, DRS by reports, some creative differences between Belichick and NFL Films of who would hold control of that final cut.
Yeah, which basically meant, I don't want you filming my practice, but Bill, this is exactly what we do here. And by the way, Bill, you used to film everybody else's practice. What's the big deal now if we film your practice and try to get a hold of it? And then, you know, also the other lightning rods. Hey, we're going to be around the facility. We're also going to get into your personal life here. You're not going to put my girlfriend on camera and ask her questions. All right, deal's off at this point. I don't know why we asked. And also, Bill Belichick, social media-wise, very funny. You see him, you know, out and about talking to players when he's not a head coach. But when he's a head coach, he might be the most boring person in the history of the planet. So why did everybody think this was actually going to work out? Like, man, can't wait to see Bill in action. We saw him for 25 years in the NFL. Boring and boorish as hell.
And we saw him for about 30 minutes in his introductory press conference where he was the same exact guy we had seen for 2.5 decades in Foxborough. Not that funny guy roasting Tom Brady or on the Manning cast. When he's a head coach, he's all about business. So Tag deadline day comes and goes. Only two guys under the franchise tag, which means, Donnie, starting on Monday, the non-tampering negotiating window for free agency truly begins. We'll get all of the news of the contracts, of the deals that then will be made official exactly 1 week from today when the league year starts. I do want to highlight Devontae Adams, who was released yesterday or planned to be released by the New York Jets. Donnie, it has not been a great last few years for Devontae Adams, at least in his impact on a successful franchise. But he has still had five consecutive seasons of 1,000 yards. Even last year, in only 11 games with New York, 854 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns. He is 32 years old. He is certainly in the tail end of his NFL career. But I think he's the top wide receiver on the market. Chris Godwin might have something to say about that. But for a couple of teams that will need some wide receiver help now with T. Higgins under the tag in Cincinnati, Devontae Adams still can get it done in my estimation, even at 32.
No, he can, and he's going to be able to help a football team. Like, does he want to be a mercenary, which means pay me the most money, I'll go to a bad organization, or am I going to go to an organization that really needs a wide receiver to take them over the hump by making a deep playoff run? There's still a lot of I just don't want to see him pay. Like, let's just say Aaron Rodgers winds up on football team X over here. I just don't want to see him go that route. Just go with another team. You take a look at, like, the Kansas City Chiefs adding a veteran wide receiver with a Patrick Mahomes. You take a look at the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. Get him paired up with a really good quarterback, name not Aaron Rodgers, and I'll buy into it, but there's still gas in the tank for Devontae Adams. Who'll help somebody next year?
And you wonder if Devontae Adams will follow that foresight, right? To play with Buffalo, to be the one guy there, or at least pairing with Khalil Shakir to help that wide receiver room, to head out to LA to give Justin Herbert some wide receiver help, or if he will demand to play with Aaron Rodgers, because Devontae has been very particular about his quarterback in his NFL career. Started with Aaron Rodgers, forced his way out of Green Bay after, or even in Rodgers' final season, to pair with his college buddy in Derek Carr, who was shipped out of Las Vegas as well. That's really been the story for Devontae Adams. Chris Godwin, a wide receiver on the market. Ronnie Stanley, not placed under the tag in Baltimore. He will test free agency as well. Khalil Mack, Zach Bond, after a very successful year in Philadelphia, and Javon Holland, the safety for Miami. But of course, DRS, a lot of focus on the top name on that board. That would be Sam Darnold. It is not a great quarterback class here in the 2025 offseason, either in the draft or in free agent waters. Even a couple of guys that we thought could be on the move, Kirk Cousins, you would have to trade for him and take on a lot of money. Derek Carr, at least for the time being, is remaining the starting quarterback in New Orleans. So it's really just Sam Darnold, DRS.
It is Sam Darnold, and he's going to have a pretty good amount of options out here to get paid good money. The interesting part is they couldn't franchise tag him because it's not like, hey, you know what? I'm going to franchise tag a inside linebacker or let's just say a safety at this point. Like, okay, it's going to be manageable. Like, can you imagine if they tag Darnold? He's 40-plus million, and it's like, we just got a fax in this morning. Well, what's the fax say? He signed his franchise tag. Now you're on the hook for $40 million, and Sam Darnold laughs all the way back. Like, I'll play one more at $40 million and then go off into the offseason next year and try to cash in even more.
For sure.
It's not surprising. There, but also down the list there on that graphic, Ronnie Stanley, a good offensive lineman, left tackle, hitting free agency, is going to get money. But the interesting part is, how did he actually get there? What do the Ravens know? How much gas does he have left in the tank? Has been injured quite a bit there. That's one to keep an eye on, because teams that are so needy at left tackle, they will have a big time overpay. And the Ravens know that. Maybe just walked away where they're just like, you know what? We just couldn't afford the guy at this point.
Namely, the flock's biggest rival, perhaps, in the AFC, the Chiefs, who could use a left tackle like Ronnie Stanley. Interesting point, DRS. NBA recap from Tuesday. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Recaps around the association from a Tuesday evening live right here on a Wednesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. Make it 7 straight wins for the Los Angeles Lakers. They dropped their first game, even as a double-digit home favorite against the Hornets following the All-Star break. And ever since then, 7 straight victories. Last night by 21, 136, 115 at home in L.A. against the New Orleans Pelicans. The Lakers cover as a 9-point home favorite. The Lakers get a combined 64 points out of LeBron, who had 34, and Luka, who had 30, and a plus-minus of plus 37. Also in the game, LeBron James scoring his 50,000th point, and then a couple more after that. The first ever to get to 50K, combining the regular and postseason. A historic night in Los Angeles, and a red-hot Lake Show team in downtown L.A.
Yeah, it was pretty good performance by them because, again, just beating a bad basketball team is one thing, and the Pelicans dropped the 6-26 on the road. I actually thought the Pelicans were a decent play last night, getting close to double digits. They said, you know what? Zion's healthy. He'll be back in the lineup. He did play 26 minutes, went 17 of 23 from the floor, a plus 13 and 37 total points. Now, understand the magnitude of what Zion did last night. Everybody in the starting lineup, the rest of them, minus 29, minus 29, minus 25, minus 11. He was plus 13. But you can't play the whole basketball game at this point because you're just worried about him getting injured late in the season in a throwaway year. But focus on the Los Angeles Lakers. Things are starting to mesh here, even without a true big man now. If you're going to get Luka Doncic, 30 points and LeBron James, 34. That's the big two. Yeah. Everybody else will feed off of those guys here, shooting 53% as a team from the floor, 37% from three-point range, and close to 78% from the free throw line. That's how it's done here. I'm looking forward to the Lakers when they start to step up in class and competition because some of these games, they're playing against teams they should beat, and rightfully so, they are beating. Let's see the Los Angeles Lakers in that elevated spot over the next, 10 to 15 games and really see if they can press the needle down and secure that number two overall seed in the Western Conference.
The Lakers had gone under in all seven games since the break. Last night, their first over, skying over to 28.5. And Luka Doncic, DRS, after a slow start in the purple and gold, and maybe because it was his first action since Christmas Day, is really starting to pick it up. 30 points, 15 dimes, 8 boards, 6 made triples. And again, that plus minus of plus 37, that is winning basketball. The Pels did enter last night, winning 5 of their last 7, but the 2 losses in that span, no covers as an underdog, that continued last night. Let's head to Madison Square Garden, where Stephen Curry continues to play some of his best ball inside MSG. A personal career record now for Steph of 12-1 straight up inside the world's most famous arena. And the Golden State Warriors, with Steph and Jimmy Butler in the starting 5, have won 9 of 10 games together. 114-102, the victory for Golden State inside MSG on the second leg of a road back-to-back, a second consecutive double-digit road win. Golden State this time outright as a 5-point dog.
Yeah, I was wrong on this one. And also was looking at the estimated starting lineup yesterday, which included Carl Anthony Towns, doesn't play in that game. Mitchell Robinson back into the starting lineup. And he did have some pretty good performance as the starters for New York, but it wasn't enough. And as you said, that's impressive. A back-to-back victory, one of those things where I thought the New York Knicks would say, you know what? It's going to be one of our nights we should play well, all intact on offense. And it wasn't. They didn't play particularly well, only 24% from the three-point line at home for the New York Knicks. That's not going to get it done. 35% shooting from three-point range for the road team, the Golden State Warriors. And something about just playing in Madison Square Garden does fire up opposing teams. It's a big stage. No matter how good the Knicks are, you're in New York City. That's a great performance and a great win for the Golden State Warriors.
The Knicks 4-3 since the All-Star break, but only one cover in that span. Golden State had not been an underdog since prior to the All-Star break. And now you add in Jimmy Butler, who, again, when he has played in the games for the Dubs, they have won 9 of 10. They have covered in all 9 of those victories as well. And the Warriors, because of a DRS, seeing their way move up the Western Conference standings. Now 34-28, a full half game in front of the Minnesota Timberwolves, a full game in front of the Kings, and a game and a half in front of the LA Clippers, as Golden State currently occupies that 6th spot around the Western Conference standings. Speaking of the Clippers, a disappointing road loss last night after leading by more than 20 in the closing minutes of the 3rd quarter. And perhaps a season-saving win for the Suns. Still a lot of ground to be made up, But these are the games you have to have, and these are the moments from a momentum perspective that might be able to turn around your season. 119-117. Phoenix wins outright as a three-point home dog in the Valley. They trailed by 23 points late in the third quarter. Kevin Durant, 34 points. Colin Gillespie, a big output off the bench with 12. Part of the reason Phoenix had that comeback.
Yeah, it is crazy, too, because it's a team that's just hanging on by a thread right now and getting punished all the way through that game until the fourth quarter, where they had a 43-22 advantage, enough to win by 2 points. But come on, Clippers, you're going to waste an Ivica Zubac performance of 37 minutes, 15 of 19 from the floor, and 35 points? You couldn't get that job done here? I don't know what is going on with the Clippers right now. Now dropping to 32-29, one of those promising teams where everybody seemed healthy and ready to go. Now, yeah, not really the case. And I think they're on a back-to-back once again tonight, which multiple starters will probably sit. So I don't think it gets even any better at this point moving forward.
The Clippers only have one win in seven games since the All-Star break. They have not covered in any of those seven since the All-Star break. A big reason why: Norman Powell, injured for the first couple of games after the break, now dealing with a hamstring injury as well. When our guy is not out there, it is not a recipe for success for LA. Bradley Beal, 15 minutes, 0 points. Put Colin Gillespie, bud, into that starting five, and maybe you will see some importance. Phoenix still 4 games below .500, still 3 out of a play-in tournament spot. But with the Kyrie Irving injury news, torn ACL out for the remainder of the year, and some injury uncertainty around Anthony Davis, could Phoenix make a charge to get into the play-in tournament? We shall see. Also, Donnie, just to say, the Lakers have the longest active win streak out west, 7 straight wins. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 11 consecutive victories for the NBA's best team, blowing out the Bulls in Chicago, 139-117, covering as a 13-point road favorite. College basketball scores next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The madness does not wait until the NCAA tournament. It happens all year long in college basketball, even early in March, even in the final week of the regular season at the high major level. That includes an upset of the number one team in the nation last night in College Station. Number one Auburn goes down, losing by double digits, 83-72. A&M snaps Auburn's 6-game win streak. A&M snaps their own 4-game slide, 83-72. The Aggies win outright as a 4.5-point home dog. A total of 151.5 does sky over. No court storm, as Buzz Williams told them to stay off the court. Maybe they have higher expectation. I still think you beat the number one team in the country. Let the kids have fun. But regardless, DRS, a huge win for Texas A&M to start to turn around some of that momentum early here in the month of March.
Yeah, I thought they had a decent matchup on paper, as I pointed out, though, just not playing as well as they were playing previously in the season. But Auburn, look, it's hard to win on the road. That's always the case in point we bring up. Unless you bring your A game, sometimes it doesn't work out. But however, you get to some of the box score statistics here from that Tigers-Aggies game and say, wait a second, Auburn went on the road and shot 50% from the floor to 43% for the Texas A&M Aggies. You take a look at the three-point line. They shot 41% from the three-point line to 36% for Texas A&M. Free throw line, 86% to 72%. But some of those numbers you have to look at and say, okay, one team made 18 free throws, the other 13. But still, almost getting beat by double digits despite having the statistical advantage in just about every category is just an anomaly. But all, what did you expect, though? This conference is murderer's row on a night-to-night basis. And Auburn is still 15-2 there despite taking that loss. And it wasn't as Texas A&M was, hey, middling 500 team. That's a good basketball team in the top 25. It's no shame to get beat in that game because, again, unless you bring your A game every night in the SEC, which typically Auburn does, eventually you're going to get knocked off, and it's okay.
Over in 4 straight for Texas A&M, over in 9 of the last 11 for the Tigers. If there is any hole that you can poke in Auburn – They are not as elite defensively as teams like Duke and Houston, but of course the most efficient offense in all of college basketball. The Tigers were trying to be perfect on the road in SEC play. 9-0 in their final road game of the season, they come up one win shy. And again, for A&M, who had won five straight prior to this four-game skid, a big victory as an underdog to snap that slide. Let's head out to the Big 12. Another top 25 tilt inside Hilton Coliseum in Ames, Iowa. 10th-ranked Iowa State, now fully healthy at home against a streaking BYU team, number 23 in the country. Low scoring to start, but then it got very exciting at the end of regulation, forcing an overtime, and not just one OT, but two, as BYU prevails on the road, winning their seventh straight game, knocking off the clones in Hilton. That is no easy order. 88-85, BYU wins outright as a 9.5-point road underdog.
It's a fun team. Why? Because they love to shoot the three-point shot. Did they do it ultra-effectively yesterday? No, but you're playing a very good defensive team on the road and still come away at volume with 11 triples made. That's going to work out in your favor. And also, we talk about so many times, get to the charity stripe and make your free throws. Both of these teams did. 80% on one side, 87% on the other. Imagine shooting 31 free throws and making 87% of those at home, and you still couldn't come away with a victory. And also, just that anomaly. 29 turnovers by BYU on the road against a top 10 team and still won in double overtime. That's amazing. The Cougars are a hard team to match up with because they love the three-point shot, but also live by the three, die by the three. I don't know if you can trust that type of team once you get into March Madness, because if they're raining threes, that's the ultimate equalizer. But if you're not hitting your three-point shots, BYU will go quietly into the night.
It was not a great offensive night for Iowa State. 39% from the floor, 28% from deep. Not what you are hoping for. Keyshawn Gilbert back for a second consecutive game. 13 points, 8 steals, but just 1 of 5 from 3. I am telling you, if BYU does make a run in the big dance, the Richie Saunders jerseys are going to go triple platinum in Provo. He had 23 points last night, 6 consecutive games, scoring at least 13 for Kevin Young, who has had a great first year in Provo. And, of course, very green pastures ahead, it would seem, for the Cougs. Plenty of other scores from around college basketball. Memphis wins on the road in San Antonio. But not much has come easy for the Tigers in AAC play. They win by 5 as an 8.5-point favorite, but do clinch a share of the American regular season crown. First conference title for Memphis in more than a decade since 2012 in CUSA action. Plenty more around college basketball when Hour 2 starts next.